switch off one so that the other will work. I think there we are. All right, is it all right? Yes. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your holy word. And I pray by your Holy Spirit, you will open it to our minds and hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to say three things this morning. First, I want us just to look at something slightly different, and that is to see the difference between Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the rest of the New Testament that begins with Acts and goes on to the Revelation. And then we will go on to see John as he speaks about the glory of Christ. And then John speaks of the grace of Christ. But now then, this difference, I think this is something that we don't normally recognize, but it's something that is really real and important. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what are known as the synoptic gospels. And it's a good word, syn meaning together, and optic meaning to see. They see together the life of our Lord. They record his birth, life, death, resurrection, and Jesus. They tell that he will give his life a ransom for many. They speak of his impending death. But they finish there. There is something comes after the synoptics. These are very important, the synoptics, because they show us especially how to live, what Jesus wants, and what Jesus says. But you know, when you come to John, the Acts, the 21 letters, and you come to the Revelation, you come to something that is so different. It's in a new key, to use a musical term. And I want to begin, when we're now turning to looking at John's gospel, wanting to know, do you know why so often in churches the lecterns are in the shape of an eagle? And why John's gospel, the image, the symbol of John's gospel, is an eagle? Sometimes in my retirement, I act as honorary tourist chaplain in York Minster. And one of the questions that I'm so frequently asked is, why is the lectern in the shape of an eagle? Well, the answer is, evidently, the eagle is the one bird that can fly and into the sky and look at the sun in all its brilliance and not blink. Why is John's gospel so different to the synoptics? Because it is seen, and we can read, how John looks into the face of the Son of God and sees something so supremely different to the synoptics. And so that is how and why John begins. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The synoptics are written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But we are told that Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will give you the strength to record all that I have said to you, but the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. I have much more to say to you. You cannot bear it now, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And that is what we have in John, in the Acts and the Epistles. These record the resurrection of the Lord. The people have received the Holy Spirit not to record, just to record the words of the Jesus of Galilee, but to convey to us the words of the Jesus of glory, the all truth, the much more, all things. So there we are, and so here we begin with John. After all, you can see another thing. How does Luke's gospel begin? Luke's gospel starts off virtually with the genealogy of Adam. How does Matthew's gospel start? It starts with the genealogy of Abraham. How does the Mark's gospel begin? It begins with after John the Baptist has been into prison. But how does John begin? He doesn't begin with Adam or Abraham or Galilee. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Right before the creation of time, in the beginning was the Word, eternal, infinite, in majesty from all eternity. But then he goes on, the Word was with God. The Word was with God. Now this is something so important and is one of the key emphases in John's Gospel. You have been studying the seven signs. But it so happens in Beverly, I've been giving a course on the discourses of John. And one of the most interesting features in these long, two-thirds of each of these John chapters is a discourse. And the burden of the discourse is that God is both Father and Son. Son and Father. You must honor the Son, then you will honor the Father. You must obey the Son and obey the Father. I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. I and my Father are one. There's this great concept of God, both as Father and Son. And so we have it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, Father and Son together. And then John amazingly says this wonderful truth, that the Word was God. Yes, we so easily say that God the Father is God. But John says, God the Son, he is God. And then he repeats it again. God, he was with God from the beginning. I think it must be abundantly clear how different John and the rest of the New Testament is from these glorious synoptic gospels. They have the Jesus walking in the streets of Galilee and teaching us and showing us life, etc. But the rest of the New Testament shows to us the glory, the risen glory of our Lord after his atoning death on the cross. So here we are. We rejoice in the synoptics, but we also rejoice in the rest of the New Testament, where we have much more, all things, all truth. And here he speaks of, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Our Lord, the one who was crucified on the cross, buried and then raised, was the agent of God in all creation. Through him all things were made. Nothing was made without him that has been made. Then he goes on to say, in him was life. And you know that there are two words in the New Testament for life. There's the word bio, from which you get biotechnology and biology and all the rest of it. Human life. But the word in him was life. It's a different word, but it's easy to remember because it's a girl's name, Zoe. In him was life. And it comes scores of times in John. He hasn't got the word bio at all in his gospel. It is all about Zoe. In him was life. And then he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. It was the light. Man walked with God. But when man turned his back on God, he lost the Zoe, and all that he had was bio. And that perishes. He was the light that lighteneth every man who was coming into the world. But then when he came gladly, the world did not overcome him. But sadly, the world did not understand him. He was in himself the glory of God, and he is still the glory of God. But now then, go on to the final section. And in we see here, and surely this reflects on the third thought, the glory of God. In him was the grace of God. God came down among us, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and take upon him the form of a servant, and became in the likeness of human man, and gave himself. Here we have the grace of God in John's gospel. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Yes, John, Peter, and St. Paul on the Damascus Road saw the glory of the only begotten Son. Paul hadn't seen the baptism. He hadn't seen the signs. He hadn't seen the transfiguration. But he had seen the Lord exalted, radiant, brilliant on the Damascus Road. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst. We have seen his glory, glory of the only begotten Son, who was full of grace, grace and truth. I think the word grace is a very important word. And grace is all that we need in this life to make amends with God, Jesus, in his life and in his death on the cross and by his resurrection, is all the atonement, all the reconciliation that we need, full of grace. But then I want us to notice full of grace and truth. You know, there's a great temptation for us as Christians to see the truth is a line, logic, A equals B, B equals C, therefore A equals C, or 2 plus 2 equals 4. That is truth. That's logical, mathematical, scientific truth. But when John says, in him he was full of grace and truth, he's not thinking of a logical syllogism. He's thinking of a person. And I think we need to remember that the truth that we hold is a person. Didn't Jesus say, I am the way, the truth? The truth of the Christian gospel is in a person. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Yes, truth is in a person. It isn't in a statement, logic. This is something I think supremely important, because we are people and we want truth as we see it in a person. We like relationships, and truth is when we are relating to a person. Ah, wonderful. But then, of course, you say, what is the position of the scriptures? After all, they are written logically, revealed truth. Yes, they are revealed divine inspired truth. But the truth that they are giving is an interpretation and the application and the exposition of the truth who is a person. This is what John is saying. We beheld the truth. We embraced it. We saw it. We heard it. We ate with it. The truth was here with 2 feet on the ground. And this is our gospel, that Jesus is Lord and King and Savior with us. He is the truth. And you know, I think sometimes we forget this, but you know the old hymn, beyond the sacred page, we seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, thou living word. That's the word written from the spoken, through the written, must lead us to the eternal word. And this is also expressed in the church. We have 2 sacraments, the sacrament of bread and wine, and we have the sacrament of the word. And a sacrament leads us beyond itself. It leads us to that which is invisible, that which is eternal, that which is Christian. It leads us to Christ. And you know, truth is very dead. Truth is just something formula if it doesn't lead us to a person. Person to love him, to see him as indeed the Lord, as indeed the Lord's apostles did. Yes. And I want you finally to end up, to on the thought not of John, but of Paul, when he says over 160 times, as Christians, we are in Christ. And that means, therefore, as Christians here, with all our needs, with all our difficulties, with all our challenges, and the Lord knows how great so many of them are. Where are you if you're in Christ? You're in Him who was with God from all beginning and is God, and yet came to be where we are, that He might make us what He is, full of grace and truth. So have this picture of Jesus Christ, of John, the Eternal One, and we are in Him in all our needs, and we can draw from His enormous resources that are in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Beyond the sacred page, we seek Thee, Lord. My spirit pants for Thee, the living Lord. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your truth in Your word. Thank You most of all that that truth leads us to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is all our sufficiency. And we thank You in His name. Amen.